anyone who doesn't follow the mixed martial arts, but I know a lot of you do pro wrestling. Obviously, one of the bigger stars of both sports now is Brock Lesnar, who a couple of years ago made the transition to the real stuff and became heavyweight champion with a very junior career. One of his main rivals has been a guy named Frank Mir, who gave him his only loss. And Brock won the rematch, and now Frank is trying to get a rubber match, you know, depending if he wins his next fight, probably won't. And Frank went on some radio show and started talking about how he wanted to literally kill Brock Lesnar.
Wants him to beat him. MMA death or something along those lines.
Right? No, yeah, it wasn't just like, I'm going to kill this motherfucker, you know, like some, you know, just regular trash talk. It was very clinical. I want to give the first death in the octagon. I want to break his neck, you know, and it was very... You know, at a time when they're trying to get, you know, legislation passed in New York and Ontario, these giant MMA markets that they're not legal in yet. And then you got, you know, a guy who's supposed to be one of the smartest guys in the sport, you know, talking like, you know, a caveman. You know, I think...
You're supposed to be one of the smartest guys in the sport?
He's a color commentator. He's obviously a guy who knows his way around using words.
Well... You know? Yeah, I mean, he does a good job of commentating, but just saying, okay, well, saying he's a good commentator does not mean to me that he's necessarily smart, but okay, I'll let you get by with it. Just
talking is hard.
Talking, yeah.
Frank has always struck me as a pretty damn sharp guy, so that's just my opinion. I mean, he may not.
Well... But. I don't know. I have never formed an opinion on that matter.
Well, I mean, you watch him. You watch him whenever. Well, you had a whole season of Ultimate Fighter to watch him coach. I mean, you didn't get an opinion on that.
But it never occurred to me that he's particularly smart or he's particularly not smart. Just, you know, he's just some guy.
He's just some guy. I disagree. But
okay.
I always thought he's very sharp, very clever, well-educated guy, sounds like. But it was to me, it was a dumb thing to say. He probably wasn't thinking that much of it because, you know, Chuck Liddell, even a few months before that, it said he wants to kill Tito Ortiz. But he said it in just a way that, you know, no one paid attention to it.
Yeah, it didn't sound so literal.
Yeah,
I want to bring the noise.
Yeah, I think it is more of a, you know, he was just so clinical and means he wasn't just like rawr, rawr, kill this guy. He was like, well, see, I'm gonna, you know, snap his neck and break it, and he will die of octagon related injuries. You know, it's very kind of a very clinical way of going about it. Yeah, I mean, he could just said, yeah, I just want to put him in the hospital. I want to cripple him for life. That might have gone, I don't know, maybe a little better.
That would have been harsh.
I just want him to be a quadriplegic.
Well,
I want to bruise his testicles with my knees and make sure he never walks again.
Just spend the rest of his life in an iron lung.
Give him cancer of the knee.
Oh, God.
Well, speaking of, so another guy got in trouble for wishing AIDS on another fighter. it was Dan Hart. The guy who got AIDS wished on him was Dan Hardy. I can't remember the name of the fight. I think it was the Irish hand grenade, maybe.
Yeah. I remember seeing it. I don't remember...
That's a move.
you give the opponent AIDS, you know, and it's like.
I think they have blood testing to prevent that, though. You have to like arrange it before the fight, get him to sleep with a hoe, or get him raped by someone with AIDS or something, or just, you know, a needle when he's not looking. I've thought about this.
That's like an old school heel move, you know. It's like you can hear JR now. Oh my God, he's got the AIDS needle. Oh my God, he gave Stone Cold AIDS. Stone Cold.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's got AIDS.
Marcus Davis.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was the Irish hand grenade. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
My God, Steve Austin has AIDS.
You know, JR is war. That's all I gotta say. Sorry.
JR Ewing.
No, Jim Ross. That my favorite thing from Raw ever was when Jim Ross took over Raw. He had Dr. Death Steve Williams as his enforcer. Sorry, that's just an aside.
Okay.
Yeah, Alan knows next to nothing about pro wrestling.
He should. I mean, pro wrestling is like a million times better than MMA. It's like far more real.
Well, I think one of the funniest things, like TNA a few months back tried to do like a kind of a worked MMA style match, and the crowd literally chanted, "We want the fake stuff."
That's awesome.
We want the fake stuff. Bump, 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 bump. We want the fake stuff. I mean, it's not even making that up. That's what happened. So, yeah. People have their pace, man. Other news, James, Tony, I don't follow boxing that well. Some former heavyweight boxer.
Some kind of boxing badass.
Yeah, he signed with
UFC. He's signed with UFC. So, there's basically two ways they can go with this. They can either try to build him up into a respectable fighter, or they can just hand him wrestlers that he can't handle, theoretically at least can't handle, and crush him and say, haha, MMA is better than boxing. So which do you think is more likely?
I think they're just going to handle it. I think the only reason they signed him was to keep him off of Strikeforce. And so they're basically just, yeah, they're going to feed him McCain Velasquez or something, and just he'll get embarrassed in one fight and hopefully leave. And if he doesn't, you know, maybe he can beat up Cheek Congo or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, anybody, he's got to, I don't want to diminish his chances. He could turn out to be a legitimate contender.
Well, Marie Mercer knocked out Tim Sylvia, but I mean,
right? That's yeah. Someone could go in there and get Tim Sylvia, but
a two-time former heavyweight champ, man, come on.
Yeah. It was also like 75.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you look at the division he fought against and the one now in heavyweight, it's just, I mean, it's, if you had to go with like an act, people overuse the term, you know, a night, you know, the change is night and day. It literally is like night and day. Just there was, yeah, like, from absolutely no talent, the fact that Tim Sylvia was a two-time champ tells you how much talent there was, to, you know, Junior Dos Santos, Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar, you know, these friggin' monstrous people.
Yeah, the heavyweight division is looking a lot better now than it was just a year ago, even.
Well, it became the money division. You know, it used to be, you know, the light heavyweight division's always been, since the beginning, has been the UFC's money division. And,
yeah. And, you know, light heavyweight's still the most stacked division.
It still is, but money drawing-wise, it's going to be, and a lot of it's due to Brock. He's just, he's just their biggest crossover star right now.
Right. Yeah, as far as names go, yeah.
And the thing was, he really wasn't like a huge, it wasn't like he was a Stone Cold or Hulk Hogan he walked over. He was like, you know, the average person probably didn't know who Brock Lesnar was when he was a pro wrestler.
Right.
You know, pro wrestling wasn't huge when he was huge in the sport, you know. Yeah. But the fact that he, you know, he made a name trying to do football and then finally crossed over to MMA, you know, people said, hey, this guy was a pro wrestler. And people are... Mm-hmm. You know, purists are up in arms about it, despite the sport having pro wrestlers in it since UFC 1, you know.
Right. All the he's got a real pedigree, though, as far as, you know, like, wrestling goes. I mean, going back...
It doesn't matter, you see, because he did pro wrestling, therefore that, all that.
He's tanked.
You know, Brock Lesnar actually was dating a friend of mine's cousin. So about 10 years ago, my friend had Thanksgiving dinner with Lesnar at his home. Said he was a nice guy, but I'm certain he took dickhead pills since then because, of course, you know.
Well, he says he's a people. He's not a guy that prides himself on being a people person at all. He's like, he lives in the woods for a reason. Like, he doesn't want to be around anybody.
No, he plays the heel in the UFC.
Yeah, he does it pretty good too.
You know, he was dissing Bud Light after his last win, Bud Light being a big sponsor for the event. So he's going to go.
That wasn't even a good like heel move. Even like the biggest heels in WWE never badmouth the sponsor. That's just, there's some things you just don't do.
Don't bite into a Slim Jim.
So apparently there's a WEC card this weekend. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, here's a topic we can talk about. Fucking versus not being on DirecTV.
Although Cage Potato is reporting now today that they have reached an agreement and Versus will be available again next week on a new special tier, a new sports tier that you have to pay for. And I will take credit for that because yesterday I called DirecTV to find out if I was stuck in a contract, which, you know, I probably should have read when I signed up for the service. But anyway,
reading is good. Fundamentals.
Stuck in a contract. Found out, yeah, I'm stuck in a contract until April of 2011, which is, you know, another year away. And in order to get out of it, I would have to pay $20 a month for every month that, you know, I cancel the service, which would be like $260. So that didn't seem reasonable. I got transferred to, you know, a higher level of customer service. She told me the same thing. I told her what I thought about DirecTV and, you know, tried to be not too angry at her because it's not her fault. She's just doing her job. But, you know, I made it clear in no uncertain terms that I was a dissatisfied customer.
They don't care.
And now just today, apparently, if the rumor is true, they've reached an agreement. So I will take credit for that.
Well, Joe Rogan was bitching about it before you on Twitter, so I'm still going to go with Joe Rogan.
Well, you know, yeah, but I talked to them. I mean, I talked to DirecTV.
Oh, I think you overlooked the power of Joe's Twitter feed, my friend. I think you undersell that.
Maybe I did.
Kevin Smith's Twitter feed is pretty powerful.
It's it clogs up my Twitter feed every friggin' morning when he posts 520 replies to random retards.
That's why I don't follow Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I followed him for a couple of days, and he was just rambling on about hockey and crap, and I didn't give a damn. So
yeah, I don't care.
Followed him.
Yeah.
There's nuggets of joy in there, but, you know, yeah. I don't know.
I've ran out of use for it.
Twitter's like my, you know, when I'm bored, it's something I glance over at during the workday, so I don't mind having a ton of Twitters, but I can definitely see, like, he would not be a person to follow. Joe Rogan's pretty damn funny. I like him. Of all the MMA-related people I follow on Twitter, he's about the only one, besides Mayhem Miller, who's probably, I would recommend anybody worth following. Rampage is funny, but he posts, like, once every 6 months, and he probably has an assistant actually does it for him.
I follow Dana White and the official UFC.
Dana only posts close to fight time. He doesn't really just randomly say, "Hey, I'm at Pinkberry in L.A."
He's not running Foursquare.
Well, he does post when he's at Pinkberry. He doesn't have he's like a huge Pinkberry fan. I don't know if anybody knows what it is.
I don't.
It's a frozen Pinkberry yogurt place. You can only get it in certain cities, and like he can't. I know there's like Vegas doesn't have it. Every time he's in L.A. or New York, he goes. We have it here in San Diego. It's really good. But yeah, I sent one of the speaking of Joe Rogan, of course, last UFC he had probably Joe Rogan is great for freaking out. Like, the good thing about UFC is not quite being like a super mainstream sport is the commentators still get away with a lot more than an MLB broadcaster probably would. So, in just another string of Joe Rogan being awesome during a fight. The cornermen were icing down the guy's back, and the ice bag broke, and there was, like, just this giant ton of ice stuck in the ring, or the cage, and the referee's yelling at the cornermen, clean it up, we gotta start the next round, and they kind of freaked out, and they were doing a good job, basically, and so during this entire spectacle, there's Joe Rogan just riding them like you wouldn't believe, just, you know, cutting like one of the best promos you'll ever hear, on these poor cornermen trying to clean up this ice, and he's just yelling and calling them what fools they are, and you know, terrible job they're doing. And you know, it actually became like the, you know, a so-so card that became maybe the high. It's the part I remember the most, other than the main event knockout, I think, with Joe Rogan's crazy ice rant. And someone on the figure four board set his rant to Ice Ice Baby. I sent Brian the link.
Oh wow! Look at all the ice all over. Yeah, we got a problem. Yep, someone spilled the ice in the octagon. Oh no! This is good. Look at it. They knocked the bucket over. This is the Three Stooges.
Yo, VIP
and UFC.
Let's kick it.
What are you freaks doing? Everybody's booing. Now there's even more pressure. Oh, now they're sweeping it out. That's good. Put it on the side and watch Eliani fall on her head.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen.
Ice
back with my brand new invention. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Ice, ice.
Get back in there. You're not done.
Ice, ice.
And watch the sucker open up. Oh no! What a disaster.
Ice, ice.
There's a piece right there.
Ice, ice.
I still see a couple of pieces, man. I still see a couple pieces right there.
Okay, let's get out of here. Word to your mother.
This ice all over the floor. What are these guys? They ran out. We got it. There's 100 pieces of ice still on the floor. And this guy's just scrambled out because of the pressure. I've never seen you so excited. Well, I don't want anybody to fall and break their head. This is ridiculous. I'm looking at ice on the ground. No, those corner men, somebody needs to kick their ass. Fight.
You should have heard Joe Rogan talking about the ice. That was so cool.
Was that the last one or the one before that?
That was the last pay-per-view card. It was the last pay-per-view card. Then there was a Strike Force on CBS, and the next one is WC this weekend. I don't know when the next paid event is.
Yeah, no, I'm saying when was the ice rant?
It was like the second fight, I think, between rounds. I remember which fight it was. The rant was more memorable than the fight, obviously. I don't remember who was fighting. I just remember Rogan going off on it.
Joe Rogan versus Ice.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. The song I have actually, I don't think it's not on YouTube. Like, someone linked the file on the Figure Four message board, which is paid, so you really can't get to it unless you have a subscription. Or Brian plays it, and
I'll play it.
I'm a fully trained broadcaster, my friend.
His voice has been heard on the radio. In select markets.
Yeah, didn't you do like some voiceovers for like a TV commercial or something too?
I've done everything in broadcasting. I've done radio, I've done television, I've done VOs, you know, edited audio and video. It's part of my job.
I forget that, sir.
It's all right.
But have you ever met Keith David?
Who's Keith David?
Have you ever met Keith Carradine?
Keith David, the guy that does the voiceovers for the Navy commercials.
Yes, I think I did, actually.
Really?
Dun 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 dun. Navy. Yeah, he came to when I was in Millington, recruiting. He came.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have got you to sign a Gargoyles comic book or something. He was the voice of the lot.
That was like when I first got there. Like, I don't think we even. Like, I think at that point we had vague plans to meet. Point, because you lived in Jonesboro, and
yeah,
we kind of knew each other from Ouija at that point, basically.
And you didn't even care who Keith David was anyway.
I'm not a Gargoyles fan. No, it's was he an MMA fighter? I didn't, you know, when he's not, you know, being overly dramatic. I think he does, like, actually, I think this time, I think, doesn't he do the voiceovers for TNA? Does anyone know?
No idea.
No.
There's somebody with a very similar... If it's not him, it's somebody that's kind of a sound-alike. Does, like, the TNA pay-per-view voiceovers. It's very that deep, dramatic, kind of very similar sound.
What the hell happened to Jeremy Borash, by the way? Did he really get fired, or is that just for the show?
I don't... I think he actually did get fired. Bischoff...
Wow.
Bischoff buried him, like, in real life, so I would assume,
yeah. He did it, like, on TV, too. That's pretty rough. But then again, it's Bischoff.
Yeah, it's Bischoff. Bischoff is a great character in small doses. They do seem to kind of if you've watched, try to watch TNA lately, it's gotten better when it's not just 100% Russo, which I just had to give up because it was painful. Right.
What happened to Russo? He used to be a genius, and he just like...
He was a genius when he worked with Vince McMahon, who could just shut down all his stupid shit. When anytime he's by himself, he's really bad.
Yeah. He needs someone to help him.
He's a great idea, man, but he needs someone to mold him.
Disco Inferno, what was it? Disco Inferno, when he was booking, he wanted to have Mike Tenay as a Martian. That's genius. Sorry.
Didn't they have Tank Abbott, bringing this back to MMA, didn't they have Tank Abbott as like one of the three count guys? Like,
yeah.
He was in a dancing boy band.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Alan, if you can imagine this, you know Tank Abbott, of course, right?
Yeah. Well, not personally, but yeah.
Yeah, he was a pro wrestler for a while in WCW, and at one point they had like a gimmick. A bunch of young wrestlers were kind of doing the Backstreet Boys kind of gimmick, because this is what
three counts.
Yeah, and they had Tank Abbott join them, and he did the dances and everything.
Wow.
He was the best part of that.
Did he like dance decently, or was he just...
No.
He wasn't horrible.
They put down three dots, but they had dance on, and he put down a big square. It's on for the hammer the joke in.
He was very Tank Abbott-y.
He'd smile with that big toothless grin.
Yeah, Tank was has been very complimentary of his time in pro wrestling. He really had no problem with it. He was just like, you know, to him it was just a TV show. You know, he never got, you know, I think it was, remember that bodybuilder or that the world's strongest man guy that they had in
Brackus?
Alex Keller, Braxa Kalagala or whatever. Yeah, he was one of those guys that like they didn't really clue in that it wasn't real, I think.
No, was that WCW?
That was WCW, yes.
Because yeah, WWF had the Brackus guy, the big German behemoth.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he was awful.
I think the best wrestling is fake moment ever was this match between, of all people, Lance Storm and some, like, new guy that just had on there to be squashed. And the guy had Lance Storm in a corner. He did this running up super kick. Then he jumped, and he had the kick ready, and he stopped, and he landed a foot away from Lance Storm's face without hitting him. And Lance Storm grabbed his foot and smacked himself in the head with it and fell over.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Stuff like that happens a lot more than you realize. I think they put a little more effort on TV, but like when you're at a live show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the small ones that Hoop and I used to go to. You'd like literally see them jump and miss the guy like by a foot in the air and go, oh, and just fall.
It was awesome. Yeah, well, Lucha, too. Lucha's a lot of, you know, like, wow, that's an amazing move. You know, too bad it was obvious the other guy had to provide 90% of the momentum or that move never would have worked.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, Lucha's more about watching the show than the believability of the match, because it's just cool to watch.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of people argue, like, well, you know it's fake, you know, it was like...
It's still art.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, well, maybe you just like watching people jump around and do crazy acrobatic things, or you enjoy the psychology of what they're trying to... But, you know, I mean, if you want the real thing, there is a real thing now. It's called MMA. It's what pro wrestling would be if it was fucking real, you know. And there are guys that do, that try out crazy. There's one guy in the light heavyweight division, John Bones Jones. Is that his first name?
Yeah,
he like actually watches like tapes from, he like watches like Japanese pro wrestling on YouTube and then tries them out in matches.
Wow.
Yeah, John Jones, not to be confused with the Martian Manhunter.
Oh, yeah.
He beat up a deaf guy.
Yeah, yeah, he beat up the deaf guy and
disqualified for an illegal blow.
But the guy matched,
your mom got disqualified for an illegal blow.
But the match actually stopped. He actually stopped the match because he dislocated the shoulder, which had nothing to do with the illegal blow.
Yeah, I know Jones was trying to get it turned over to a no contest for that reason. But.
Well, number one, I thought the ref should have stopped the match like 2 minutes before, like after the 50th elbow to the guy's face before he started illegal ones.
Yeah,
like he just had him pinned to the mat and was just hitting with elbows in the head, like ridiculous amounts. And I was like, man, this should be stopped. And then like he got frustrated and just started hitting him with there's one form of hitting with an elbow. Like basically the bionic elbow is illegal. You can't do 12 degrees to 6 degrees or 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock with an elbow. That's considered any other version of an elbow is legal, but not the 12 to 6. The Dusty Rhodes. So he just either forgot or just got frustrated and just started hitting him with those elbows. And finally, ended up getting the fight stopped. And I was just like, but anyway, that guy is just very entertaining, you know.
So, hey, have you seen the Chuck Liddell naked workout video?
What? I do.
What? Wait, Chuck Liddell works out?
Yeah, apparently. Well, so I just saw this a few minutes ago on Cage Potato. The video is Chuck Liddell and his girlfriend working out naked. You know, in reality...
They're wearing tennis shoes.
Well, yeah. We're wearing tennis shoes and some...
His girlfriend's really hot. I know that's shocking, right?
Yeah, well. So, apparently, though, it's actually a viral advertisement for the Reebok shoes.
Well, yeah, they're blur. It's not a... I mean, it's professionally pixelated, like, genitalia.
Well, yeah.
If it was, like, a homemade, like, actual, you know... Yeah, it looks like someone was like spying on them through a window. I think that was the.
Yeah. Which, you know, would be kind of hard to buy. But anyway, I thought it was kind of funny.
Well, I thought it was good. I mean, I think I didn't hear about it until after I heard that it was, you know, a viral commercial.
Yeah.
I just stumbled upon it yesterday. I was like, oh, here it is. I'm like, oh, I'll just. Thought like, wow, his girlfriend's really, really hot. But, you know, shock and surprise there. But, yeah, I think that's enough for the first one. We'll try to get more organized for a second show. I have to run. I have to go talk some other nerd things with a different set of nerds on Skype right now.
You have other nerd friends? You're cheating on us with other nerds.
It's true. I gotta go talk role-playing games with my brother and an old Navy buddy of mine.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to our first show, Cancer of the Knee.
How about Outside the Cage?
I like that.
Outside the Cancer of the Knee? What?
Cancer of the Knee, Outside the Cage.
Yes. And we'll see you next week.